Hello there.
This is an incoming transmission from the Outer Rim Beacon.
Everything leading up to this moment has been rehearsal. The real performance is about to begin. I'm counting on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have
boys and girls, children,
Outer Rim Beacon,
D-Generation.
Your frequency for everything in that galaxy far, far away. My name is Justin, one of the hosts of the show. Joining me today, as always, are my crazy co-hosts.
One half of the WWF Tag Team Champions of the World.
WWF Tag Team Champions of the World!
Sorry.
He hasn't got pulled in on the... So if I'm... Did we already talk about this? If I'm Road or you're Road Dogg and I'm Billy Gunn, who is Justin? Is he X-Pac? Is he China?
Definitely China for sure. Yeah, definitely. Because anyway. They both made a. Never mind. This is Kyle, and I, sadly, to everyone involved, am not in fact the Road Dogg Jesse James.
No,
I wish.
Not even a little bit.
Of the no old way. DX members, he's the one that's most a chode. So, I mean, you're doing all right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
That didn't take long.
Got another great episode of Bad Batch to talk about. Well, was it really that great?
Great.
Was it kind of quiet?
Meh.
I don't know that we can
it
say that
episode,
here.
All right.
It was something. It's Bad Batch and the hunt for the M count, apparently.
Sort of.
Is basically what it was. So before we get into that, let's talk about news and notes. The big news this week, we finally got something on Acolyte. We got a full trailer for Acolyte.
And it was sick.
It was pretty dope. Yes. Yeah. We're finally getting a little bit more information on it. It starts, what, June 4th, I think, is when that starts up. I don't have a number of episodes yet, but starts up June 4th.
Is it crazy to me that it starts on June 4th? Like, literally 1 month after May the 4th? How is it not premiering on May the 4th? They couldn't get it done 4 weeks earlier?
Because Bad Batch wraps up by... May 4th, yeah. Right?
I mean, I'm like, not...
I'm pretty sure
I guess I am
done.
Picking a nit, but whatever. I'm happy it's coming out soon, but like, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that segment's later. but yeah, it's it looks pretty cool. We got... there is one... I think the article I read was basically they made it up front very clear that there is only one High Republic character in season one. Vern Estra Rowe in season one.
Know what I mean, Vern?
Has the dope light whip saber, so we kind of get to see that in live action. So,
I thought I remember, it's been a while since I read these comics, but I thought I remembered her looking drastically different in the comics. Like, potentially she had hair, but maybe I'm thinking of a different character. But yeah, I know the High Republic is very cool, and we got like Andor, which has no Jedi. It's like very grounded in like the regular people, I feel like. And then this is polar opposite. Like, we were literally in the temple raising younglings and groups of Jedi going on missions. I think that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We get a new Jedi Wookiee.
Why do we need another one?
I don't know. It was Kel Naka is the name of the Jedi Wookiee that was in the clip. And you can see the tabards on him. And he's got like the ponytail up here high on the head. Very interesting character.
We haven't had a Wookiee get a lot of screen time on any of these Star Wars TV shows yet. I think it's cool if he's the main character.
Rude.
BK got some, but he wasn't like a main character.
I mean, to you he wasn't maybe, but to me he was very important.
Okay, so. Whatever, Josh. Yeah, I get to a total of 15 minutes of screen time over a whole season. That's fine.
Didn't Darth Vader only have like eight like 4 minutes in the first movie or something like that. So I don't want to hear your bullshit. Anyway, back to
kind of like Boba
the Acolyte.
Go ahead, Josh.
Do you think this Acolyte person, like the main character, is going to end up being a good guy, just like Reva, like having a redemption arc? Amanda Stenberg is very attractive, and it just, I feel like usually when they in Star Wars, if someone can't be a bad guy, show me one. Non-animated.
Rude. Well, they're all dudes is part of it.
I was waiting for you guys to talk about that bootlicker that you like from Andor.
Oh, I forget. I do forget Dedra? Her name, though.
You talking about Dedra Miro? Yeah. I mean, that's the character name, but yes. Dedra Miro.
I could fix her.
That is a tough question to answer, Josh. Like, fine and attractive.
I'm just saying. No, I mean, villainous. I think that's just a thing in movies and, you know, in media is like, you know, most of the time if someone's got like a likable face, you know. Mm.
Do you think, let me ask this question. Do you think Acolyte is a story that kind of tells the tale from both sides? Or do we think this focuses more on the Jedi dealing with the Acolyte? Or do we think this is a storyline of the Acolyte in their perspective and their point of view? So like to them, essentially the Jedi would be the bad guys.
I felt like the trailer was framed as Jedi as the main POV, but who knows?
That's what I got too.
I think Jedi is the main POV in the trailer, but I feel like even if I think that it's probably mixed. Like it's probably you get a little bit of the Acolyte's perspective and a little bit of the Jedi's perspective. But I don't think they're going to show you that it's the Acolyte's perspective in this because I think they want it to be a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of where I was going with it. Like, why do you name the show Acolyte, but you center it on the Jedi towards the end of the High Republic? But
well, then, I mean, it would be so sweet though. They haven't really done anything like this where they have like a property where it's following a villain as the antagonist.
A villain. Yep.
So
yep. Very exciting though. Excited to see it. And we don't have too long to wait. It's like 2.5 months roughly. So. We got like April that. And May, so
it makes me feel good too solid. That, like, you know, we've had all this time with no real like a very trickling of news, not a whole lot of news, and so for something that we had no idea was going to be this close, like they were saying, you know, this year, but I was thinking it was, you know, how they were like Mandalorian this year, and it's like they, you know, debuted on like New Year's Eve or whatever. It's like. I figured it's going to be something Christmas, like that. Yeah. And so for them to be like, oh, P.S. the trailer's out tomorrow and the show comes out June in like a month and a half. That's I have hope that maybe we're going to get like, you know, Skeleton Crew or the next season of some other live action thing is just going to get dropped on us.
Dying for more Andor. I feel like that too. Yeah, Andor. So long ago.
Well, I think they're done shooting. I think it's in post now, isn't it? So they're doing editing at this point. It's just a question of, are we going to get any teaser?
Well, that'll be your next material, one, then, I think. Probably.
Yeah. I think they're probably still, if they're putting this out in June, I think their plan is to still put Skeleton Crew out in like September. And that gives them tons of stuff for the year. That gives them, you know, three shows for the year. Speaking of Acolyte, we did get a Hasbro did a thing today where they basically announced a bunch of figures from the show in Black Series and Vintage Collection. Gonna cost you an arm and a leg to get those figures by the time they roll out, and
they'll never be in the stores. You can only order them online and pay to have them shipped to your house. So dumb.
Pretty much. And then they did announce a Moff Gideon Mando helmet. So like the helmet he had at the end of season 3, they're doing one of those, which is pretty cool for like their role play line of stuff, which does well. But I think if you can wait long enough, you find them on clearance and Target and Walmart and everywhere else.
I'll buy one of those when it's at Ollie's or Marshall's. Or
so I've never seen what I thought was like a really good helmet at one of those places. It's like Poe Dameron or like Kylo Ren, but like years later, where we don't care anymore. Like, you know, like
we got the Trapper Wolf ones for like Wolf. $30, mm-hmm. and they were originally retailed for $100.
Josh just doesn't have his yet because I haven't seen him. It's in the basement.
Oh, did you get? Did I? I don't remember. Yeah.
Okay. See, you totally forgot. Yes. Yeah, we all three got one.
There you go. Yeah. They were a steal at like $30, oh, yeah. and it wasn't
was too that from
far
Ollie's?
Off the heels of when they released it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a steal for those. So check those out. I didn't get prices or anything on them because they a did lot. A whole thing today. I just couldn't watch it. But and then the only other bit I had was the Sideshow released a new Umbra clone trooper from Battlefront to from the Battlefront series. So it's pretty cool. It's like the Jesse kind of outfit, but it's black and yellow.
Black and yellow.
All over,
black
he's got
and
that
yellow,
black and
yellow. Yellow, black and
exactly.
Yellow.
There you go.
So I've never, I don't even know what that's from, that trooper. Like, I know it's from one of the games, but I don't remember seeing it ever. But I bought that figure when it came out at Games, the Black Series mm-hmm. of it, when it came out at GameStop, because it looked so cool. And it was on sale, too. Like, I was in GameStop, and it was, like, on clearance. But I was like, I don't know what this is, but this trooper looks sweet, so
pretty dope. Yeah, it was just one of the different skins. I think there was a Lambent one and then yeah. Another one you could get. It is a limited release of 1500. I don't know, they're gonna release it in Asia first and then they're gonna release it here, so I don't know if that 1500 was like only for Asia and then they're gonna redo that same amount here. I don't know what the deal is. They don't have any details yet, but you have to go, you can go to Sideshow, sign up for the RSVP, and it's basically like a lottery system, I think. So
those might be really hard to get. I know Sideshow has a lot of yeah. like licensed dealers that get first dibs on stuff, and some that are even like required to buy a bunch of stuff. I don't know how that works on these super limited runs, but you know, I mean, I don't know what the demand is for this kind of niche thing, but that's a really small number.
You know me, I love my clones, so oh, yeah. this one will be a must if I can score one. So I'm looking forward to it. But that was it. That was all I got for news and notes this week. Let's dive into what we're mainly here to talk about today, which is Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch.
The Batch of Bad?
This episode was kind of bad, in my opinion. It wasn't very good.
Not wrong. It was very slow compared to what we got
boring.
Last week with the two episodes and all the action and everything going on. So
I don't think it was all the way like
from
a filler,
high level.
Though. Like some no, at least some story blame. Beats moved around, along, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to ask was, you know, what's your guys' first take on this week's episode? Josh, I think you're right there. It wasn't a filler episode, but it definitely was slower, but still moved some story plots. Kyle, anything right off the rip for you?
Not other than my points we're going to bring up. I didn't find it that entertaining. I did watch it twice, but I wasn't like, it was just, yeah.
I didn't get the second watch in. I only got one in today. But,
same.
You know, if I'm looking at, if we're diving into to our observations here, the one big thing that stood out to me was Crosshair kind of finally coming to terms with whatever his handshake is. And I know we talked a little bit about that last week on last week's episode, but his hand, and as AZ3 basically said, he's like, there is physically nothing wrong with you unless you tell me otherwise what they did, what kind of testing they did. So maybe what you're experiencing is not physiological, but psychological. And I think that's hard for Crosshair to grasp because he seems like a very cerebral clone and thinks about things and is very... He is a soldier. Like, things cannot affect him like that. And I think it's finally, by the end of this episode, he's kind of coming around to the fact that, yes, maybe I kind of need to make peace with myself to kind of help steady this, or maybe there is something mentally there that is causing it. What did you guys have?
I sort of expected this, that it's like the result of a PTSD type situation yeah. more than like a glitch in his brain or something like that, you know. So I was never really clear on why he was resistant to having AZ check it in the first place, unless he like already kind of knew that it wasn't really a physical problem.
I think that's what it was. I think he knows what it is and doesn't want to be. He's not being honest with himself.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Mm-hmm. He's the type.
Yeah.
So broody.
It also makes sense that it's not like, you know, because we were talking about in previous episodes of the podcast, like, is it related to like their advanced aging or like him just degrading, you know, because he's getting old. But we're not seeing that in any of the rest of them. So, you know,
right.
It makes sense that it's not that.
Agreed.
I had two Jedi Master observations, but they're both kind of like brief, I guess. The first one was last week I did mention, do we think now that sort of the whole crew is back together, including Rex and Echo, is that like, are we going to be riding it out to the end of this series because, you know, their goals kind of align. They're all trying to go to the same place ultimately. But, and this makes sense to me, Omega's got way too much heat on her. Everybody's looking for Omega, so essentially nobody really wants to be around her, especially if they're like up to no good. You know, you're not, you don't break the law when you're breaking the law. You know, one at a time.
Breaking the law.
Plus, we need her and Crosshair to be alone for the story, so they can, you know.
Yeah, they're like besties now, and she's got a whole different like laid back outfit. Whatever, and he like let her hold his hand kind of weirdly doing their whole
thing. She was just showing him put your hand over. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
That's her older so brother weird. It's fine. No, it's her younger brother. Sorry, excuse me.
Does that make it more fine, less fine? Okay, whatever. So who do we think Fennec was talking to at the end, and sub point, why is the Bad Batch literally the worst judges of character? They get sold out or ratted on or like taken advantage of by everyone they interact with, except these friggin' people on Pabu, I guess.
And Fee. I guess
she is not trustworthy.
You got a friend in Fee.
No, I don't think she's going to turn at this point.
You got a friend in Fee. No.
Sid felt gross kind of from the start, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think it's Boba Fett. And so.
Really?
Well, so here's the thing. I think we know Boba's already active at this time as a bounty hunter. And if he's already wearing the armor, it's fully possible that Fennec could have known him when he was younger and in the helmet, but never seen him. And then when she runs into him, when he saves her, not to know who he was at first and thinking he was dead. And then also it kind of helps explain, it connects why Boba would, you know, save her. And like, there's, you know, building that connection. Plus, I think that it's beneficial for the story to have the one other unaltered clone show up at some point. So.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
What are your thoughts, Kyle? I can't tell what your face is.
I don't have an opinion. I'm not sure who I think it is, other than like whoever she called, she thought would know something about M Count.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And then that person now is going to want to. I was under the impression that person who Fennec thought knows something about the M Count is now going to try and go get Hunter and Wrecker, because, you know, she said whatever at the end about like, I'm sure you'll be able to find them if you want, whatever. So I don't know. I think Boba Fett makes sense for all of the reasons you just said. I don't know if he fits those two things, though,
yeah,
unless he is already contracted by the Empire or something, which is possible, but I don't think they were like necessarily using bounty hunters at this time, unless it's something like the Emperor himself was doing like on the sly. I don't know.
Well, but the Emperor's been using bounty hunters to collect force sensitive kids and stuff since before the Empire. I mean, he was doing it with Cad Bane. Which that's the other thing, is that Cad Bane, I mean, she already knows Cad Bane and he's already been stealing force sensitive children.
That could be cool.
And those are the two that we see and we saw in the trailer before Bad Batch started was Cad Bane and Asajj, right? Mm-hmm. And we know Asajj was hunting down kids.
I forgot about Asajj. It's probably Asajj. Right. This is the same thing they did with the Spice Girls. Remember, we thought they were talking to someone bad, and they cliffhangered it, and then it was somebody. Who was it? Was it Rex? Like we thought they were selling Ahsoka out, and then it turns out they weren't. I think it's the same thing. We think they're selling. She's selling them out, but it's going to be Asajj.
I wouldn't mind seeing that meetup again, Asajj and Wolf.
Well, we know she's in it, and we know, and we don't have a lot of time left. So
yeah, it makes sense that it'd probably be one of those two. I don't think you introduce a character that wasn't in the trailer, but I mean, you never know. They do like to throw curveballs from time to time, so maybe.
That was probably the most interesting part of the episode to me.
Yeah. And I think it's hard to be. It's hard to be Cad Bane because Cad already went after. Remember, there was, what is it? Fennec and Cad were both chasing her down with the Bad Batch trying to save her at the same time. So
they're both strictly business. I don't think that would be at all like problematic for them to overcome.
Yeah. And like Josh there was said, major bad blood.
He definitely was hunting down force sensitive children in the past. Mm-hmm. If we want to tie this back to Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be cool. I think both of those could make sense. I would love for it to be Cad Bane. Huge Cad Bane guy over here.
Oh, yeah. It's a good question.
The wildest thing about that for me, though, is that I never like put this together. We know that the Emperor has been stealing Force-sensitive children for a long time. And my assumption was always one of two things. He's killing them, or he's... they're becoming inquisitors or other dark side somethings that aren't Sith. There's a third thing that we found out that it is. It's for parts. He's using them for experiments. Really? Yeah, it's not even for any of those things. Well, it could also be for some of the other things, but he's also using it for that, which is super gross.
Yeah, well, he's a bad dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Space Hitler.
Yep.
Well, I mean, question, including the human experimentation. Those were my two observations I had.
Josh, what about you?
So, on this episode, we finally got a planet that doesn't have a biome I feel like we've seen in like Star Wars.
Marshland.
Louisiana planet.
Swamp.
I was excited until it was like Earth. Like, it's literally, we're in a swamp, there's gators, we're on a, like, a airboat thing, like, it's, okay, like, are we in the Everglades? Like, what's going on? Like, this is stupid.
I feel like I never got a great look at any of them, but were the crocodiles, like, just crocodiles? Like, were they space crocs at all? Like, were they changed at all?
Didn't seem so. They looked very big.
They were real close. Yeah.
And they were also like somehow, now this is in my pick a nit, but they were somehow sniper rifle proof, but not Wrecker hitting them proof. What? Like,
well, I mean, he can pick up a,
yeah, but sniper rifle is like, I mean, that's.
His strength is inconsistent to say the least.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was a little weird. I don't know.
Felt lazy to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you could make it a swamp, but don't make it, like, exact. Like, make the monsters in the water not a croc. Like, make it something different. Like.
Or even if it starts as a crocodile, why didn't they have
tentacles on the
two,
end? Like,
two tails and six arms, or why, like, whatever. Like, why were they so close to just something I could see at the zoo or in Florida or whatever?
Yeah.
Dagobah was more interesting than this swampland was, and for the time it was like all puppetry and And even then they stuck a random snake in, you know, when Luke's going kind of into the tree, there's like a random snake, just red and black corn snake or whatever it is, slithering through there, and made it more interesting. So
a snake I will allow. Yeah, a snake doesn't take me out of it, because I've got to assume that there's some sort of snake, like something in Star Wars, you know. That's,
well, there's crocodiles too.
Yeah,
now there are space crocs, and not the kind that go on your feet.
That'd be better.
I have Star Wars.
Well,
crocs.
So let's go into the pick and nits. So Josh, we kind of just touched on your space crocs there a little bit. Did you have any others for this week's episode?
Oh, well, and the other thing too, about that, what was the other thing I wanted to say? So the bulletproof, their inconsistencies of their plating, but then also just, yeah, the familiar, like, it's just, it seems so lazy to me. It was that way they presented it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the poison error was not necessary to the plot. It was actually just to make sure they had to keep their helmets on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't, like, what was the point of that too, other than, like,
oh
yeah,
I know what,
definitely,
sorry,
it's not Louisiana.
This was the other thing that I had. Why, we're on a mission, why is your answer to something, oh, don't go in the water if you, I was you, or like, what, you know, whatever dumb shit she said. I was like, just tell them what's in the water.
I did not care for her this episode.
Yeah, her personality was interesting.
That's one of my nits that I'm going to pick, is she came across as, like, kind of an asshole, I feel like, this episode. And she's been, like, sort of a beloved character in the past. Like, she's tough, and she's no nonsense, and she's she's going to do whatever she needs to do to get the job done, but I don't think she ever really came across as, like, a dick. And she was just being, like, I don't really know another way to say it, but she was being, like, an asshole. And I just felt like her character in this episode felt different than it had in the past. In, like, any of the other shows that we've seen her in.
Do we think that's because this is kind of a younger Fennec, like post-Clone Wars, but we're not at Book of Boba Fett yet, Fennec?
We already saw her, like, in a previous episode of The Bad Batch.
Yeah, but she was with Omega the whole time. That's, I think that's also could be why she was a little bit,
because she was a little kid. Yeah. You're right, though. That's the only reason I could think of it, is because this is like a younger Fennec, and then after she gets shot in the desert in Mando, and Boba finds her and, like, fixes her, and, like, now she's maybe a little bit, like, different mindset. I don't know.
But it could be. I just don't see how it benefits her character at all, like, for her to behave like this now. Like, she could, I thought she was perfectly formidable and interesting and likable. Like, why make her unlikable for no real reason?
Are they trying to make her seem sus throughout the episode, so that way when she does that thing at the end, we really feel like it's, yeah, she must be ratting him out to somebody bad?
Could be. Could have just been, like, slightly lazily written.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
So what's your...
I had one other thing, too. So, like, she kept referring to Wrecker as the demolitions expert. And I'm like, you guys, we just made that up. Like, yes, he's into explosions. But this whole, throughout the whole run, it's been played as, like, a bit, like, the big muscle guy, like, arm muscles, not brain muscles.
Likes to blow stuff.
Likes explosions because they look cool. Not is a demolitions expert. You know, like, I think that we've taken such a leap. And, like, if anyone was going to be a demolitions expert, I think he would be the last person. Even after Omega, he would probably be the last person in the whole crew you would choose.
It should have been Tech as the demolitions expert, because he would know where to plant the charges to get the building to fall the right way. Or Echo, but
Omega, because she got trained up by everybody. Sure. Wrecker? The guy who's Wrecker. Like not that bright and is like a bull in a china shop? I don't know. I didn't get that part. Seemed pretty weird to me.
No.
Well, you seems know, like they just made it up.
Well, when you're down a man or two and you've got to, you know, bump somebody up for to fill a position, apparently he fell up the ladder, essentially. I guess,
but like, what it, why did we have to? He had to be the demolitions expert because in the show they run into these like depth charge things in the swamp and he defused them. Okay. Why don't we come up with a different obstacle that you need a giant strong guy for? Like,
I thought that was the crocodiles. That didn't work.
And she
either.
Could be like, oh, well, you're the friggin' muscle guy, right? We need one of those. Come on. Like, why are we making up a new ability for, I don't know. Well, the more I'm talking about it, the more I hate it, actually. I'm irritated by this.
And then weren't both of them in the water
just
doing the charges? Like,
snipping
so when did,
the one wire. Yeah, that's what they were all doing.
I was
going to
say, when did Hunter become the demo expert, too? I don't know.
Well, he's just the leader. Yeah, leader's got to know how to do all the jobs, you know.
Of course.
Good point. Good point.
I don't know.
Man of many trades when you're in that role.
You guys can tell me I'm wrong, but I don't know.
Looking to see if there was another time he was referred to as a demolitions expert before this.
I didn't see
coming up goose yet. Eggs.
So far.
Well, while he's searching, my only pick would have been, you know, again, when we got to Siler's base or his hideout in the swamp and all of a sudden things got dark again. And it was kind of hard to see the fight scene between Siler and Hunter.
Justin, at some point, you're going to have to go to the optometrist.
I know. Well, funny thing is when they're in the bar and it's dark in the bar, but they've got like the neon signs everywhere, the shading is great. Like, it looks fantastic, but then we get into a dimly lit
cave,
swampy area, or it's a night scene, and all of a sudden you can't see squat. And not to mention how many times they got to shoot this guy with.
He was pretty squirrely.
The stun. He was, yeah, like, they had to shoot him a bunch of times to get him to go down. So, whatever. The species he is apparently is not going to go down easily with the stun gun. So
yeah, it's probably got a thick exoskeleton, hard carapace, thorax.
They kept hitting him antennae. And they kept hitting him in the abdomen instead of the thorax is the problem.
Yeah,
I was just naming bug parts.
I got it.
You guys remember the thorax? Do you guys remember the Killix from the books? The hive mind, it was like the first trilogy after the New Jedi Order. There was a species of sentient insects who had a hive mind, and they could like, they got a hold of some of the Jedi in the hive mind, and then they were like controlling the Jedi to do stuff other places. They were decent. It was for a Jedi villain that wasn't Force, like didn't have anything to do with the Force. It was pretty good.
It was similar to the brainworms in that Clone Wars episode. They kind of zombified people more than like directly controlled them, but kind of similar idea.
True. Well, the nice thing is that kind of, speaking of Siler, that kind of moves me into the next segment, which is the Thank the Maker segment. Siler Saris was the character's name, also known as the Slayer of Ordo Eris, which Ordo Eris is that giant space station thingy, which first appeared in Jedi Fallen Order, which was kind of a nice tie-in to another Star Wars property there. It is the home of the Haxion Brood, which I think of those like part robot, part.
Is that from the first Fallen Order game?
Yes, the first one. Yep.
They're actually mentioned in both games and in the book.
Mm-hmm. But no, I was going to say Siler is a Yamri is the species. Yamri. But it's nice to see kind of an alien creature that obviously can speak. It still has kind of an alien language, but it's a different creature than we're used to seeing. And that being kind of one of the feature characters in the show again. And I think that's
like similar to a Genosian in their like bugginess. He was like more of a praying mantis type deal, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Still pretty clicky though.
We get, what's the name of the ant character in Mando that Pelimoto was playing with? The doctor, what'd she call him? Doctor something? Crap.
It was some kind of, it was some kind of pun. It might have been Dr. Mandible.
Yes. Yes. That's it. So we see these like bug creatures that are sentient beings in Star Wars. And I think that's kind of cool. And it's, I think that's along the lines of when, you know, George kind of first started Star Wars, that's what he envisioned, was different characters like this and different creatures like this. Whereas I think we've had a lot of human characters over the last couple years with everything kind of going on with even the alien characters are more human like, right? It's nice to see a character like this, which is more of an alien species being featured. So that was my thank the maker for this week. What'd you guys have?
Ever feel bad about the lack of aliens in Star Wars, just watch old Star Trek.
And there's like none.
There's no aliens, or if they are, it's just like a person with face paint on, or like an antenna, or a couple of ridges on their forehead.
I was not that into this episode, but I am legitimately thankful that Hunter somewhat used his tracking skills. I feel like it's only been mentioned about like 4 times total in the whole series, including the Clone Wars arc. And he's like the main guy and never does anything. I wonder if they sit around the writer's room and they're like, God dang, that was a dumb ability to give this guy. We really should have done like almost anything else. Like Crosshair is just sniping stuff all the time and Tech is solving problems all the time. And Wrecker's just like pushing things over and punching things all the time. And Hunter's just like,
Echo's just scomping and scomping.
He's scomping into things like left and right. And Hunter never hunts anything.
The man's name is literally his job and he doesn't do it.
It's all of their names are their job. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah.
But he's the only one that doesn't do it.
Yeah, no. Crosshairs is the best one. Like they've used his the most, like to the bet, like most effectively. Like Tech does stuff all the time, but like, oh, cool power. You knew the answer to the question, whatever.
You're forgetting that time that Echo
made scomped that pun, into something.
Made that pun about his name. I can't remember what he said though. Someone was like, "Is there an Echo in here?" He's like, I'm Echo.
Yeah, here.
Yes, I'm Echo. Forgot about that. Josh, what did you have? Any thank the maker moments in this week's episode?
Yeah. The Acolyte trailer.
That's yeah, good point.
No, so I will say, and I know Kyle said that I did this last week, but when they made Tracker, right? That's his new nickname. Tracker was like a major part of the plot. I was like, if Kyle doesn't mention that he actually used his ability, I'm gonna be really pissed off. So I'm glad that you had that on there, because something you always complain about. So
it's dumb.
I think they actually
made a mistake there.
Well, like, it would be easy for them to just put in a scene where he's doing the like. In every, you could do that. They literally did it with X-Men.
Let me drop some sand and see which way the wind's blowing and sniff the air a little bit. Like, whatever. Well, I don't know.
Literally, every time Wolverine was about to fight somebody in the X-Men cartoon, they would like not have them together. And then he'd be like, oh, Sabretooth's that way. Or, you know, like, whatever.
So. Yeah.
Speaking of which, the first 2 episodes of X-Men 97 dropped. I haven't watched it yet.
right before the Bad Batch is a little teaser for X-Men, and right before the first episode of X-Men is a little teaser for the Bad Batch. They're pointing right at each other. I'm halfway into the first episode. My knee-jerk reaction is that Jubilee, Storm, Jean Grey, and Scott / Cyclops are all very, very awesome. Wolverine sounds funny and Rogue sound funny to me. But I'll let you draw your own conclusion.
Aren't they the ones that have the old voice?
Strangest part. Yes.
Well, that's why they sound bad, right? Because it's probably their old. It's like when Darth Vader sounded kind of rough in Rogue One.
It sounds so. They
I did
all
hear
sound,
that in the trailer though.
They sound different though. It doesn't sound weird because they sound the same and everybody else sounds different. They sound the same because everybody else sounds like, oh, this is like the HD version of the old one. And now Wolverine sounds like a different person, even though it's the same person. I don't know. It's very weird. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but like, it's like the new people are doing an interpretation of the old people and the old people are like, let me switch it up. I'm tired of that. I don't know. It's weird.
Did you go back and like watch like an old episode?
I've been watching it because this is coming out. I watched five seasons of it.
Oh my God. Okay. I'll listen for it. I definitely want to hear this now. But yes, I got to watch those too. That's next on the agenda this evening while I eat dinner. So
it looks great to me. I think I've seen some people aren't over the moon about the art. I think it looks awesome. I think they're doing a style and it looks great.
Okay. My friend Joe Coleman, he's a professional wrestler. He is the biggest Marvel fan I know. Sorry, Kyle. He posted something on Facebook along the lines of, I mean, and this is a guy that's like complaining, like making jokes about power rankings on old trading cards and stuff, like stuff I don't even remember, you know. And he said,
oh, those
Topps
cards were sick.
He said it's like the best thing outside of the comics, like comic adaptation they've done ever so far. So,
like I said, I've only seen half of the first episode, so we'll see.
It doesn't surprise me because the last cartoon held that distinction as well. It's the most comically accurate adaptation of up to this point. I think, like, you know, the most comically accurate adaptation of anything in mainstream comics is the X-Men cartoon
for mutants, for sure. Deadpool is really close. Deadpool's really close, but yeah. Well, because like the mutant side of Marvel is different than like what would be the Avengers side. And some of those Spider-Man movies are real good. Some of the, you know, the first couple Iron Man movies were really good. Some of that's, you know, they've done some things that were great and some things.
No, but I'm saying like the original cartoon was like the storylines were relatively accurate too. Whereas like with the movies now, they're kind of like we take one little beat and then we change everything.
Yeah, it's kind of become its own thing. Yeah.
But,
yeah, other than like that one, this is just going to be a Marvel podcast now, but other than that
one, same family
Thor movie, where they really essentially did Planet Hulk. That was pretty close to that storyline, and then they've done some stuff, but yeah, you're right. They're kind of doing the cinematic universe separate, and the old X-Men animated show was pulling storylines pretty similar from. There was a funny thing though, where in the comics there's the Hellfire Club with Sebastian Shaw and the White Queen and all these people. And in the animated show, because it, like, unlike some animation now, which is designed specifically for adults, this was very much for children. They called it something else because I Hellfire wasn't appropriate probably for elementary school kids, especially in the 90s. And I'm trying, I can't remember what they actually called it. But they had some other name for it. It was the something else club.
Yeah. Do you guys know about how, like, in Great Britain, when we were kids, or when Kyle and I were kids, and when Justin was in college, like in the UK, the Ninja Turtles were the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, and they didn't ever show them using their weapons in the cartoon. They would cut it out.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, they were called the Inner Circle. There it was. I looked it up. They were called the Inner Circle because Hellfire Club. No, they couldn't. So they didn't say ninja, and they never used their weapons.
Right.
I feel like you're missing like a major part of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at that point.
It's true.
Just a little bit.
Like calling the Hellfire Club the Inner Circle doesn't really change much. They're still doing the same thing, and it's still the same people. Calling the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what did they change it to?
Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
What?
And they don't do martial arts with weaponry. It's not the same thing.
Nope, just these lame weapons.
Just the guns. The gun show. The
guns. Well, let's speaking of something that's got you excited this week, Kyle, sounds
that
like
is not my thing that's got me excited, but I am excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sort of wish they dropped the whole season instead of its weekly release. All right.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Let's stay with you, Kyle. What's got you pretty excited this week?
I'm pumped about that. Justin already tied it to Star Wars last week. I also, Invincible Season 2, Part 2 is coming out weekly right now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Ooh.
Great show. Yeah. This was not originally what I had planned. I can probably tie it back to Star Wars, though. There's a million people in it. I'll think on that for a second.
Okay.
The thing I was actually going to say, planning on saying, is that I got this really big print of this, like, I don't know, neoclassical painting from the 1700s called The Death of Socrates. I finally got it hung up on my wall. It looks really great. You guys already know this, but I have a lot of art hung up at my house. There's like over 80 or 90 things, depending on, you know, what you count as art and what is just bullshit I have hung up. But this is the only like kind of classical painting type thing I have. And it looks really good where it is. And I like it. I'm pumped about it. And I'm going to make this Star Wars because when Socrates was put to death, he drank hemlock, which is the name of one of the baddies in The Bad Batch.
The good doctor?
Yeah, this season. the name is sort of on the nose for me, but there it is. That's what I'm
saying. No, I think it's pronounced Socrates.
Socrates? Yeah, that's my
Socrates.
Bad. Yeah, that's my bad. Socrates.
A Bill and Ted reference. It's Socrates.
Something is afoot at the Circle K.
Yeah. If you want to know about the death of Socrates, Bill. Socrates.
I know that.
Jacques-Louis David. There's a really good, like, 8-minute long YouTube video that like goes into great detail about it. If you're into art appreciation, it is.
Nice, Josh. What about you?
The thing that got me juiced this last week was getting married. I got married on Friday.
Woo!
You got to make a Star Wars,
sir.
Oh, first of all, Tab walked down the aisle to Yoda's theme by one John Williams from The Empire Strikes Back, and then her bouquet, the handle was a lightsaber hilt, and it's funny because I purposely bought a Yoda hilt. Because the regular like toy hilts are just really long, but so I thought, oh, Yoda's hilt's gonna be shorter. It wasn't because it's a toy, so it's still pretty long. I think it was still a little bit shorter than some of the other ones, but still real long. But yeah, so boom,
very cool. I like the tie-in there. Very nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. It was a fun time. Dinner was great. Your suit, which was green, black shirt, green tie. Very nice look. St. Patrick's Day weekend, too, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's related to the green at all or not, but it was a very good look. And just so I'm not slacking on my own rules that I am holding everyone to, even though it was off the cuff, Mark Hamill and Clancy Brown both voice characters in Invincible.
Ah.
Yeah, isn't Mark Hamill like the Alfred kind of guy?
He makes the suits. Q. I think.
You know, he's the
He's the guy who makes the he's more what's her name from Invincible? The little
Edna.
He's Edna. Edna. Yeah.
Or I think it's Edna, right? Like the little short lady with the glasses. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Clancy Brown was the voice of Ryder Strata, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then
and played him.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. Very nice. Well, I could not get to Josh's wedding. I was stuck traveling to Myrtle Beach for work.
No worries.
I did, however, on the flight, get to watch the movie Damsel on Netflix, which stars one Millie Bobby Brown.
Was she in distress?
Not by the end of it, she was not. She was kicking butt by the end of it, but she's obviously known for Stranger Things as one of her biggest bodies of work. Who she stars in that with David Harbour, who has also lent his voice to the Star Wars universe in an episode of Visions as Tajin Crosser in the English dub of the episode The Elder from season 1, episode 7. He's basically the older Jedi Master with the Padawan that travels to the planet, and they encounter the old guy who turns out to be a dual wielding Sith on the planet.
I did
and
not
then get into a...
know that.
No? Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, but he is the voice of the Jedi Master in that episode. So that's my thing. The movie was good. Damsel was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. It's a little bit of a slow build up to it, but I actually enjoyed it. So if you like fantasy, dragon, knights kind of thing, that's basically what it was. So
there's only one trilogy, Justin.
Dante. There's only one to rule them all.
He's doing Clerks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I thought of a more fun way to
the original.
Tie my wedding to Star Wars.
Okay.
A more fun way. Okay, so we got married. Our first dance song is going to be Every Thug Needs a Lady by Alkaline Trio when we have our reception. So fitting that, we went to Chicago and we saw them play. Matt Skiba, who is in Alkaline Trio, was the person who replaced Tom DeLonge in Blink-182 when he was gone. And Blink-182 had a song on Dude Ranch about being in love with Princess Leia called A New Hope.
All right, I'm like, I'll allow it.
Nice. Princess Leia, where are you?
Nice job. All right, anybody want to touch on anything else Bad Batch related or anything else that's got you excited this week before we wrap this up?
I'm excited to see Justin this week. I'm coming up to Columbus this weekend.
Woohoo!
See you there.
Same.
Josh, you're welcome
to get some good eats,
come
man.
Join us.
What are you doing?
We'll probably eat Mikey's Late Night Slice across the street. Can we get sponsored by Mikey's Late Night Slice? They're local to two of the three of us.
This is true.
That out there. I'll plug them every week.
If you've never been to a Columbus, try Mikey's Late Night Slice, delicious pizza.
Did we go there?
But they have something called a unicorn bar.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had the unicorn bar?
No. But Josh and his now wife did go to Mikey's Late Night here in Cincinnati with me when they visited.
Okay. Try the unicorn bar sometime. It's basically a giant Rice Krispie treat with fruity pebbles in it. Mm. It's amazing. All right. Well, if nobody has anything else, then I'm going to hit the button and we're going to wrap it up.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our show this week covering Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 8, titled Bad Territory. And yes, it was exactly that. Bad territory. The planet wasn't even remotely cool.
It's not the best territory we've been in.
To Josh's point, it is Star Wars Louisiana.
There's no Tatooine, that's for sure.
Actually, did eat red beans and rice today for lunch, so that was all kind of like...
You had a nice little tie-in with the show then.
It worked.
Yeah. Anyway, you can follow Outer Rim Beacon anywhere on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can catch a lot of our shows anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you can catch our previous episodes out on YouTube as well. My name is Justin. You can find me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now @IamTheBendu. Where are they going to find you guys?
This is Josh. I don't need your follows. Follow Kyle. KB _legend.
This is Kyle, and that's true. I am KB _legend on Instagram and other stuff.
Nice. All right, guys. Well, hopefully we get back to some action next week. Something a little bit more up-tempo, because we were cruising there for a while. It was pretty tense. It was fun to watch. And then this week, it moved plot points along, but it was a little sluggish.
Well, I'm hoping we better find out who Fennec was talking to.
Yeah, yeah. Watch it be like a side quest that has nothing to do with any of
that.
Don't
you put that evil on me.
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Does Hondo know anything about M Count?
He's been friends with a couple Jedi.
Or so he thinks.
At least. Close enough.
That was another good part of this.
I said it wrong on purpose because I didn't know that you did it last week. I had to make it bad.
I will say that is the one other good part about this episode was when Omega refers to Phi as a liberator of...
That was nice, yeah. Nice callback.
And then Crosshair just looks at her blankly, like, what are you talking about? And she's like, she's a pirate. She's a pirate. And he's like, okay. That part was good. So, anyway. All right. Have a good one, everybody. And may the Force be with you.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.